Right now, open them up, book of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, and go to verse number 13, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good work, word and work. Our Father, I pray that you would bless us today as we study. Guide and direct us in your word, and I pray that we would be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust you remember that the Thessalonian believers were worried that they had missed the rapture and were living in the tribulation period. That seven-year span between the rapture of the church and the glorious appearing of Christ to rule and reign in his millennial kingdom. He told them, Paul tells them here, you haven't missed it. Remember from last week? Because two things have to take place before the tribulation period ushers in. First thing that has to take place is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is going to take place. If you're saved, you will be a part of it. If you're not saved, you won't be. So he tells the believers there, you haven't missed it because the rapture of the church has to take place. Just brushed my teeth and can't do a thing with them. The rapture has to take place first, and the Antichrist has to be revealed. He will be revealed when the rapture of the church takes place. Now he tells them what to do to be ready for the second coming of Christ. So let me ask you, are you ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Are you ready? Now this morning, I've got 2 points, and 3 sub-points under each of those points. So if at any time you feel like I'm staying too long on one of those sub-points and I need to hurry it along, just raise your hand. Okay, I will ignore you. But if it makes you feel better, you can raise your hand and I'll ignore it and we'll go on from there. Number one, understand salvation. If you're going to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ, you need to understand salvation. Amen. You need to understand what it is, what it's all about, how you obtain it. You need to understand salvation. That has got to be clear to you. Look what he says in verse number 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Since the rapture is for the saved, the only way to find comfort in the rapture is to know that you are saved. Does that make sense? You got to know that you are saved to have that be a comfort and a hope to you in life. To know you're going to escape the tribulation period, you've got to know you are saved. So the first of those sub-points, know what it means to be saved. You've got to know what it means to be saved. He says here in verse number 13 again, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You've got to know what it means to be saved. Now, he says here, you've been chosen by God. Now, he is not talking about predestination to heaven or to hell. He is not talking about that. Understand that. Okay? There are too many scriptures that say that salvation is open to all. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, listen to me. If God, before the foundation of the world, picked people, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell, you're going to heaven, you're going to hell. God picked that all out. And then said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What's he doing? He's lying. He's lying. Because he already picked you to heaven or hell before the foundations of the earth, if that's true. Guess what? God, well, let's look at it. Look at one more. Romans 10:13. I got to slow down here. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. If he's already picked and chosen, what is that? It's a lie. If you already picked people to heaven, picked people to hell, then to say whosoever will may come is a lie. There's no getting around it. And then he ceases to be God. And then what's it matter? Go in your Bibles now to Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. If you're in Thessalonians, it's a couple of books toward the end of the Bible. Titus 1, 2. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. Now, I want you to listen carefully as I read, as you're looking at your Bibles. In hope of eternal life, which God, that does not lie, promised before the world began. Is that what that verse said? Does it say God who does not lie? What does it say? God who cannot lie. Is there a difference between does not and cannot? There's a huge difference between does not and cannot. There's a whole thing, whole bunch of things that I does not do. But every one of them, I could do. It doesn't say that God does not lie. It says what? God cannot lie. He cannot speak an untruth. He cannot. Therefore, when he says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, what does he really want? He wants all to be saved. Amen? When he says, whosoever will shall call upon the name of the Lord and shall be saved, he means it. Whosoever will. He's not talking about being predestined for heaven or predestined for hell. That is not taking place. We'll talk about that more in just a moment. You need to understand what it means to be saved. What does it mean to be saved? Well, it means you need to understand you are a sinner. You are a sinner. Now, let's just, for funsies, have all the sinners raise their hand. If you're a sinner, raise your hand. Wow, hey, that's pretty good. We all understand that. We're sinners. The Bible says it clearly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many? All. All. You are a sinner. If you are a sinner, you need a Savior. You need a Savior because sinners cannot save themselves. Sinners cannot get rid of their sin on their own. There's no being good enough. There is no outdoing your sin. There are no scales, balances in heaven. And if your good outweighs your bad, you're getting in. That doesn't happen because the Bible tells us that all of our righteousnesses in the book of Isaiah are as filthy rags in the eyes of God. That's the good stuff we do. Usually have selfish reasons behind them. Filthy rags in the eyes of God. The commentators get quite colorful in describing what the word filthy rags mean. It's gross. I won't even mention it. That's the good stuff we do. We're sinners. We need a Savior. Christ is that Savior. Amen. He's the only one. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, and that is the name Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. You are a sinner if you're without Christ. You need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. And salvation is offered to you through repentance and faith. Salvation is offered to you through repentance and faith. In 2 Thessalonians, where we began, go back there, verse number 13 again, chapter number 2. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The word belief there is putting your faith in the truth. Putting your faith in the truth. When you come to Jesus Christ through repentance and faith, you are saved. What's repentance? It is saying, God, I am a sinner, and I want to come to you. I want to leave my sin and come to Christ in salvation. Amen. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. We come to Christ because of God's grace. We put our faith in Him, and we are saved, not by any good thing that we have done, but by repenting of our sin and putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not could be, might be, one day, possibly down the road, there's a chance. Shall be saved. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hey, no hands up at this point. That's good. Second sub-point here. Know what it means to be sanctified. Know what it means to be sanctified. You need to understand salvation by knowing what it means to be saved, knowing what it means to be sanctified. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. Either you're going to have this memorized when we're all done, or I am. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. The word sanctification means holied. It means set apart. At salvation, you were holied. You were set apart for God. It has a twofold prospect. It talks about our position in Jesus Christ, first of all, and that is settled. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you come to Him in repentance and faith, the Holy Spirit sanctifies you. He holies you. He sets you aside, and you now belong to God. Amen. Your position in Jesus Christ is one of a holy child of God who's going to go to heaven because your sins have been forgiven and you have been declared by the holy judge to be justified. Amen. That is our position in Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's a second aspect to sanctification, and that's the aspect of our practice. Our position is settled. Our practice is the way we live. And our practice is our working with God to make ourselves more holy. How do we do that? We work at it. Amen. We work at it. We make sure we're getting the Bible into us. We make sure we're right with God. We're praying. We're in tune with Him all the time. And we try, we'll never be sinless, but we should certainly sin less. Amen. Every day we should be closer to God. Every day we should be more like Jesus Christ in everything we say and do. We are not perfect. Can I get an amen to that? But we should be heading in that direction. That's sanctification. That's sanctification. Go to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We're going to talk about that predestination again in Romans chapter number 8. Look at verse number 28. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Okay? God said He would work everything out for good. Who's good? Your good, ultimately, and God's good permanently. Now, sometimes our good and God's good don't line up. We want what we want, when God says, "Now I got a better idea in mind." Wow. That's not always fun, is it? It's not always fun. It's not always easy. But what's the reason? He said, those whom he foreknew, he predestinated them to something. Not to salvation. He predestinated them to what? Conformity to the image of Christ. God doesn't say here, and in any other verse that uses that word predestination, he's not talking about salvation in any of them. Isn't that interesting? There's a sermon on Sermon Audio you can listen to that I preached on that predestination. This advertisement has been brought to you by. He's saying he predestinated those who he knew who would be saved. They would be conformed to the image of his son. Did you get that? He knew you would trust Christ as Savior. And he predetermined that one day you'll be like Christ. That'll be at the rapture. But you know what he wants? He wants that to happen now. He loved you enough to save you. He loves you enough to change you. He doesn't do it on his own. We've got to work with him with this. We got to make right choices. We got to read the Word of God. We got to be filled with the Spirit, yielded to the Spirit of God in all things. And God works on us to be like Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Let's look at that one. We got the same idea in mind here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boy, look at verse number 10. Interesting, it follows right on the heels of verse number 9. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Interesting. He preordained something. That those who would be saved would do good works, would do what's right. Amen. That's what's preordained. If you're truly saved, you will do what's right. If you don't, then you better talk to God about your salvation. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And I'm about to raise my hand. We got to get going here. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 28, John writes, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He's coming back, and we need to make sure we're doing what's right when he comes back. And when we're doing what's right all the time, we don't have to be ashamed to meet him in the air. You're going to be caught doing something. What are you going to be caught doing? You need to understand salvation to be ready for the second coming. Know what it means to be saved. Know what it means to be sanctified. Third subpoint, know what it means to be secure. Know what it means to be secure. If you could lose your salvation, how much confidence could you have in the second coming of Jesus Christ? None. None whatsoever. If you're saved, the good news is you are saved eternally and eternally secure. Do you know why? Because salvation is all of God and all of grace. You didn't earn it. You can't lose it. There's nothing you did to gain, to earn, to obtain salvation. There's nothing that you can do to make God take it away. It doesn't happen. Go to John chapter number 10. John chapter number 10. The Gospel of John. John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 28. John chapter 10, verse number 28. Jesus Christ speaking, my sheep, talking about those who have trusted him as their personal Savior, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Jesus says, you're secure if you've trusted me. You are secure in Christ. He first said, first of all, if you're saved, you hear my voice and you follow me. Follow me. Christ followers is what believers should be. We call ourselves Christians, Christ-like ones. We need to be Christ followers. You know the good word for that is? Disciple. Need to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I give unto them eternal life. Now, if God gave you eternal life and then took it away next week, how eternal was that? That's not eternal at all. So if God gave you eternal life, remember the God who does not lie? Don't you shake your heads? No. God who cannot lie. Eternal life means eternal life. Never perish means never perish. Once you are saved, you are always saved. That's where we get the comfort. That's where we get the encouragement. That's where we understand we're not going to miss the rapture. We're not going to miss it because we are eternally secure in Jesus Christ. You need, if you're going to be ready, to understand salvation. You need to know what it means to be saved, know what it means to be sanctified, and know what it means to be secure in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, do you know? You can know. Are you ready? Main point number two, understand Scripture. Understand Scripture. You need to understand salvation. You need to understand the Scriptures. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Again, three subpoints. First one, know the truth. Know the truth. Where is truth found? This is a Baptist church. You're supposed to have your Bibles with you. Where is the truth found? In your Bible. He says here in verse number 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. He said, hold the things that have been handed down to you. The word tradition there does not mean the same thing as our word tradition. The word tradition means things handed down. Those things that I've given to you, that I have taught you, that I have shared with you, whether by word, meaning I was there telling you myself, or I had to write a letter to you to make sure you got this truth. That's what he's saying there. Hold fast to the things that you have been taught from the Word of God. What would Paul have handed down to them? It's only one thing. The revelation of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. What God had given to him, he shared with them. He said, stand fast. Stand firm on it. Hold on. The book is truth. Given to us by God who does not lie, who cannot lie. The God who cannot lie gave us this book. And how often is he right? Let's try that one more time. How often is he right? How often are we right? Most of the time. Just kidding. We're not. He is. Know the truth. That's why you need to be here every time we get together so you can learn more of the Word of God. Amen. That's why you need to read the book for yourself so you can learn more truth. That's why you need to hear it whenever possible. You cannot get too much of the Word of God. You cannot get too much of the Word of God. The person who said that person is so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good, is a liar. Too many Christians are too worldly minded to be of any heavenly good because we're not in the book. We've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to know the truth. You got to know it. God will judge you on your knowledge of it. Because guess what? There is no excuse. No excuse for not knowing it. You own it. Probably own more than one. You got a church here that will preach the Word of God. Know the truth. Second subpoint, believe the truth. Believe the truth. Knowing it is one thing, believing it is a complete other thing. Know it. Yeah, we have to. Believe it. God, through the word that he has given to us, brings us, what are the words he uses? Everlasting consolation and good hope. Through this book, we get everlasting comfort and good hope. Amen. Hold your finger here. Go back to Romans chapter number 15. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Look at verse number 4. Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have what? Hope. The word comfort there and the word consolation in 2 Thessalonians, same word. We get comfort, we get consolation, and we get hope through the Word of God. Believing it. Knowing it is one thing. We can know it, we can know it, we can know it, we can know it, we can know it. We need to believe it and make it ours. The acknowledgement that God in his word is right all the time. Amen. He is. But I can't make you believe it. I can't make you rest completely in it. Only you can do that. What I can tell you is, you can. You can. Does that mean, Pastor, you never have struggles? We all do. We're human. But where else are we going to go? God is always right. Always. We need to trust in him. Know it. And no, you can believe it. Amen. Go to Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter number 17. Go to verse number 10. Interesting. To me, anyway. Verses 1 through 9 are the It's the historical starting of the church at Thessalonica. That's when he does it. Persecution drove him out. He had to leave. Thessalonica, as you read the New Testament, the church at Thessalonica was one of the best churches that Paul wrote to, bar none. The most spiritual, the most faithful, they were a good church. Paul had to leave them because of persecution, because the persecution. He writes in verse number 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. That's mind-boggling. Church at Berea was even better than Thessalonica. Why? In that, they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Wow. The Bereans weren't going to accept anybody's word for it, even Paul's. Who were they going to listen to? God. So Paul would preach unto them. They'd take their Bible home, and they would dig through it and say, he's right. He's right. It's right there. He's right. I invite you to do the same thing. I beg you to do the same thing. Bring your Bible to church. Listen to me preach. You go home and say what, and find out whether or not I've told you the truth. It's right there. It always is. Know it. You can believe it. Third subpoint. No hands have been raised. That's good. Do the truth. Do the truth. If you know the Word of God, you know the truth. You believe the Word of God, you believe the truth. Do you know what will happen? You'll obey it. You live it out. Otherwise, you don't believe it. You might know it, but you don't believe it if you don't do it. You don't believe it if you don't put it into practice. You don't believe it if you're not living it out daily, all of it. And I'm preaching to myself here. We need to know the truth. We need to believe the truth. We need to do the truth. Amen. Let me go and illustrate a little bit if I can. John chapter number 20. The Gospel of John chapter number 20. John chapter 20, verse number 30. John chapter 20, verse number 30. John writes, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." He said, "I wrote this book so you would know that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. He's the Christ. He's the Son of God. And by believing that, you might have life through his name." Understand this, get this. Believing he's Christ, believing he's the Son of God, is not a simple head knowledge of, oh yeah, I believe that. Which is what too many people think. It's a simple, yeah, I believe he's the Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. Yeah. I get all that. Now, if you truly believe he's God's anointed, if you truly believe he is the Son of God, and everything he said in the Word of God is absolute truth because he is God manifest in the flesh, it will change who you are. And if it doesn't change who you are, you don't believe it. It's not a head knowledge. It's a total commitment to the truth. That he is God's anointed. He is the Son of God who died on the cross for my sin and wants to change me into his image. It'll change your life. And if it doesn't, you don't believe it. Go to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. James chapter 1, verse number 22. James chapter 1, verse number 22, "But be ye what? Doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." That's knowing and maybe even believing without the doing. Who are you deceiving? Yourself. Yourself. "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James said, be a doer, not just a hearer. He said, because when you're just a hearer, it's like getting up this morning. You've heard me say this a million times. Look in the mirror, seeing that you're a mess, and going on about your day anyway. How many would do that? We didn't do that. We didn't do that. We fixed what we thought was wrong, and some things you can't do much with. I tried to comb my hair. Then you realize there's not much there to comb. Hey, you're not supposed to laugh that hard. I'm only bald when I look in the mirror. Just that. I remember there was a man who was sick at the church a number of years ago. He was very sick. And I went and visited him, and I came walking in. Hey, Pastor, how you doing? Good to see you. I'm doing great. How are you doing? And I explained the situation. He says, and then I was thinking it could be worse. I could have lost all my hair. To which I just kind of looked at him and said, Oh, sorry, Pastor. I didn't mean it like that. How did you mean it? But you know, there's only so much you can do. He says, but when you look into the perfect law of liberty and it shows you what's wrong, fix it. Fix it. Because you're a doer and not just a hearer. Amen. Are you ready? Do you understand salvation? Do you understand Scripture? Take your hymn book, open it up to 464. 464. This is the hymn, How Firm a Foundation. Are you there? 464, How Firm a Foundation. Look at verse number 1, and then look at verses 2, 3, and 4. Notice number 1, verse number 1, does not have quotation marks around it, and verses 2, 3, and 4 do. Verse number 1 makes a statement. Verses 2, 3, and 4, all are quotes from the Word of God. Not direct quotes, but the quotes that are strung together. And I'm going to sing this for you right now. Hands up all over. Wow, that's amazing. No, I'm not going to. I am not going to sing it. Look at verse number 1. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. I've given you a book, is what the hymn writer's talking about there, that will give you everything you need in this life from God's word. Again, verse number 2 here, he's quoting, fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. That's in that firm foundation we have in the Word of God. And you won't know it till you read it. You got to know it, believe it, and do it. Verse 3, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. You're going to go through tough times in this life. It is going to happen. God promised it. When we view it through the lens of God's word, it's a whole lot better. Verse 4, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That only comes through knowing the Word of God. That only comes through believing the Word of God. That only comes through doing the Word of God. Again, we can know it, we can believe it, but we've got to put it into practice in our lives. Do it. Do it. And it's a lesson for all of us, all the time. We need to be reminded, God is at work. Amen. Guess what? He's coming back. And that second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be soon. It could be today. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you understand salvation, you are. And if you understand the Scriptures, you'll know how to live until He comes back. That's what we need to do to be ready. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You, Lord, for Your graciousness to us. Thank You, Lord, that we have been saved through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and I pray that You'd continue to work on us that we might be more like Christ every day. Lord, we need to understand the Scriptures. We need to know them, believe them, do the truth all of the time. Guide and direct us now as we make decisions. I pray that we would genuinely check our hearts and lives. Lord, work right now in Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. You're here with us today. You say, Pastor, I am saved. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know beyond any shadow of a doubt I'm going to heaven. Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up as a testimony to that fact. Amen. God bless you. That's great. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. Christian, are you ready? Are you ready? Holy Spirit's working on you to become more like Jesus Christ. Are you working with Him? By understanding the Scripture. What are you doing about that? You say, Pastor, God has spoken to me. Pray for me. I need to make sure I'm becoming like Christ, that I know the truth, believe the truth, do the truth. Pastor, pray for me. God's spoken to me today. I'm saved, but pray for me. Amen. God bless you. Amen. 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 Anyone else? Put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. God's spoken to me this morning. Maybe you're here and you're not saved. You don't understand salvation because you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not ready. Oh, you might think you are in a certain way, but you cannot save yourself. Salvation is by grace through faith, not of works. It's the gift of God. You need to come in repentance and faith and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Pastor, I don't know that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Put your hand up, put it back down. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone at all? Our Father, thank You for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for working in us and through us. Thank You for all these things. I pray that You would bless as we make decisions. You've spoken to our heart. Now I pray that we would do what You would have us to do. Guide and direct us in these decisions. If there's anyone in here who has never been saved, Lord, show them it's their greatest need and draw them to You today. Guide and direct. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's all stand. Grab a hymn book right in front of you. Turn to page 366. 366. If God has spoken to your heart, if there's a decision that Christ wants you to make, now's the time to do that. Let's all stand as we get ready to sing this first verse of the invitation. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I will show you how. I'll be waiting for you right down front. Come right now. What does God want you to do as we sing?